Ruth chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. Wash, put on perfume, and get dressed in your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor. But don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do. I will do whatever you say, Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. The word of God for the people of God.
Yeah, sermon series are always kind of odd. What scripture was I going to pick? And it was like either read the whole entire chapter of Ruth or pick kind of the main point. And so it's like, what is this mysterious part of scripture I'm choosing? And I will let you know here in just a second. It's a cliffhanger, right? That's what we do. So today we're talking about obey fully. And so my question to you today is, are you willing to obey fully in whatever God asks you to do? And just saying those words convicts my spirit. I'm just like, oh, am I really willing? So that's what I want you to just think about right now. Just kind of contemplate that. And all the things that God has asked you to do and the things that you haven't done. And maybe even start kind of a repentance in your heart right now. I was in worship and I'm thinking when I was speaking, I'm like, man, oh man. So that's kind of what I want you to just ponder. And so we're going to be talking about boldly obey, right? It's not just like, not a meandering thing. It's a bold move to obey fully. Surrender to obedience is a strength, not a weakness. And to rest in security in obedience because you're no longer in charge. There's something really powerful about that. When you go in the situation, and especially if you've ever been a leader, when you go in somewhere where you're not the leader, it's like, man, this is easy. Just do what this person says. That's not very hard. There's the rest in that. There's peace in that because you're not the one calling the shots. There's something really, really awesome about that. Especially for me, I feel like I'm calling the shots on a lot of things in my life, and it's nice to just go, I don't know. I don't care. My husband, where do you want to eat? I don't care. Just pick somewhere. I don't care. Does not matter to me. I don't care what we eat. I don't want to have to do that. And that's what we get to do with God. It's so awesome. Now, if you have children or you remember being a teenager, which I do vividly, my mom would tell me to do something, right? Clean the kitchen. And I know what she means by clean the kitchen. She means all the counters wiped off, the sink cleaned out, nothing left in the little strainer, all the cupboards shut, because for some reason I could not shut a cupboard if my life depended on it. Wipe the front of the refrigerator off, wipe all the cupboards off, make sure the floor is clean, all the dishes are put away. That's what my mom meant about cleaning the kitchen. Now, as a teenager, clean the kitchen, it was like shovel a couple things around. Oh, it's fine. And just, you walk out and I clean the kitchen. And she's going there and she's like, is this the way I would clean the kitchen? And it's like, no, then do it again. Now, I own a cleaning business. It's probably because of my mom. But but it's true. But, you know, I think that when we, so many times when your children partially obey you, it's more annoying. I'd rather my daughter just blatantly not obey me, just not do it at all, than do partially. It's like messier almost. Like, could you just, because now I got to go back and fix it. Now I'm more angry, you know, like, or make her have to go back and do it. And how many times do we do that with what God tells us to do? We want to do our own way, or it's too challenging, or whatever we come up with, and we kind of go, okay, there we go. And God's just like, oh! Do what I tell you to do. That's not that complicated. It's actually easier if you just do it my way. So partial obedience is still disobedience. Still disobedience. We surrender our lives to God when we come and take him as a redeemer. We surrender to his authority in our lives and we die to ourselves. And we become brides of Christ, which means we are protected and safe in this new identity. We are widows when we come to Christ and he takes us in and cares for us. We have to be obedient to that authority. Now, some cultural context to the scripture that we read above. So in this scripture, there's like all these specific directions that Naomi gives Ruth. She's like, wash, put on perfume, get dressed in your best clothes, then go to the threshing floor, but don't let them know you're there until he's finished eating and drinking. And when he lies down, note where he's lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. And then he will tell you what to do. So not only she has to obey what Naomi says, she's also going to have to obey what Boaz says. And these are very specific instructions. And remember, Ruth is a foreigner. So what Naomi just told her to do might be outside of her cultural context. Might be outside, completely outside of what she would see as a normal thing to do. But Naomi, knowing their culture, because in the Jewish culture, in the Jewish custom, to put a blanket over a person is to put them under your authority. A lot of times in wedding ceremonies, a husband will ceremonially put his cloak over the bride, saying, I now put you under my protection. So that is why Naomi told her to go lay on the threshing floor and uncover his feet and lie there. And then once he wakes up, to ask to be covered with the blanket, being proposing marriage. So if she would have gone in and she would have just went in and walked in and did her own thing and did it her own way, it could have been seen as disrespectful or completely outside of what Boaz understood. But because Ruth being a foreigner and being obedient fully, obeys exactly what Naomi tells you to do, and therefore is received by Boaz as a woman of high character. She could have been seen as a prostitute. She could have been seen as all kinds of things if she wouldn't done it exactly the way she was told to do it. So when God tells us to obey a certain way, even though it makes no sense to us culturally or what we have perceived through our past and our own lenses, it's because we don't know the full picture. God's like, do this, this, and this. Not because he's trying to make our life complicated or make it harder. It's because just trust that what he has and he knows better than we know. So even though this request seemed odd and risky to Ruth, she obeyed to the letter, doing what Ruth told her to do. What if Ruth would have just been obeyed partially? Can you imagine? She just came in there, did her own thing, whatever. It would have been so detrimental. Throughout scripture, God speaks and commands things out of ordinary people and requires full obedience to these requests. One example is Moses and his staff, right? God asks Moses to use the staff to begin freeing the Israelites from Egypt. He's going to perform miracles with this staff. That sounds very odd, right? It's like, you're going to take this staff and you're going to go in front of the Pharaoh and you're going to do these miracles and you're going to do all this stuff. And it was just like, okay, you know, like all the things that God asked him to do. And God also asked, he gave him instructions to use the staff to part the Red Sea. He also had him hold it above his head to win battles. These instructions don't make sense. But God doesn't need the staff. He needs Moses to obey. He needs Moses to obey. So many times I believe God asks us to do something and it might not even be necessary for that thing, but by him asking us to do it and using this object, we're like, okay, we're just going to do it the way God asked us to do and it's going to turn out. God chooses ordinary people who choose to follow, trust, and obey to work through and have them participate in his wonderful, mighty ways. Without fully following, fully trusting, and fully obeying, he can't use them. If you choose to obey partially, it'd be better to do nothing than obey partially. Disobedience is the same as rebellion. Just more annoying. At least rebellion is honest. It's like, I'm blatantly not going to do what you say. I'm just going to do the exact opposite. At least that there's honesty in that. Instead of do this, and you're like, hey, I'm going to do it my own way and clean it my own way. And it's like, that's not right. Like, so I own a cleaning business, going back to cleaning. And my husband worked for me for one day, and it was awesome. And he really did a good job. But I was worried that he was going to do it his own way. And now my cleaning business, I have a standard. Certain things need to be done a certain way. We fold the toilet paper. We clean the sinks a certain way. We clean the showers a certain way. We clean the windows a certain way. We clean the floors a certain way. And I was like, he's going to be like, oh, I want to do it my way. I want to do it. And it's like, no, because when you don't do it my standard, my clients are going to recognize that. And they're going to call me and say, you didn't do it the way you usually do it. What's going on? So if my husband wouldn't have done the way I told him to do it, I would have got a call. And I've had people that started working with me who decided to do it their own way. They want to use their own things, and it never works out. We always have to give a refund or go back and fix it. So I don't want to do that in my Christian life, but man, I do it so much. So much. God's like, go back and fix it. Go back and fix it. Do as I told you to do. To obey fully, we must submit to another's authority. This is the problem with obedience. We have to submit. This is the word that gets to me all the time. Submission. I don't like that word because it means I can't have my way. And I want my way. Even though my way doesn't make sense, but it feels comfortable because I'm used to it. We have to submit. To submit, we must admit that their way is better than our way. And that's hard. And that's where the challenge comes. Your way is better than our way. It's a submission is like, okay, you win. Now I used to compete in jiu-jitsu tournaments, which is like kind of like wrestling, grappling, whatever. And when you get into a position where they have you in a lock of some kind, which could break a bone if they finish the lock, or they choke, you could choke you out if they finish it. You have to tap out, which says, I submit, you have bested me. And that's what we have to say in obedience is you have bested me. You are better than me. I'm going to submit to your will. It's the same thing. That's why we don't like that word. Now, obedience is the substance of trust. Tony spoke last week about trust requires action, which I love because I'm an action person. Well, obedience is the substance of that action. That's what it is. When we trust, it should follow with obedience. When we don't have to fully trust in order to obey, though. That's the problem. I don't fully trust it. I don't know everything about God. I can't trust something I don't fully know or understand. I want to call crap on that. You trust implicitly and obey implicitly that little phone in your pocket. Last night I spoke at a church in Aloha, and they had 3 different locations for their church. And so I tell my phone, whatever, New Vision Church, direction to Aloha. So we drive, we follow this implicit, we're completely obeying this little phone, which I don't know, do not understand how it works. And it has failed me many times. And I still just blindly obey this phone. And we ended up in a random neighborhood. And then we drive to this church. No, there's not the church. Then we don't have service. And they're like, we're lost. We call Tony. Tony, help us. Send us the address of the church. So he sends us the address of church. And then we go and we finally find the location. But so many times we use it as an excuse. We don't fully understand God, so we can't fully trust him. That's not true. You don't have to fully know God to trust him. And then, but there's a laziness to that. God allows himself to be fully known. He's not going, nope, can't know me. He allows himself to be fully known. He gives us the opportunity to be fully known, to trust him. And if you're struggling with the trust, like Tony's talking about, and obedience, I like to go back to places of remembrance. Go back to those places in your life where God has been faithful. God has shown up. Then you go, okay, God, you were faithful in this, then I can obey you in this. You're faithful in this, then I can obey you in this. That helps. That'll help you get through that. Now today, I want you to continue to ask yourself, have you been living in full obedience to God's authority in your life? Have we been living full obedience? And I think we bend our obedience because it's like, well, culture says that this is okay, and so that must be okay. God has given us a true north, which is his Bible, his boom, this is north. This is what the truth is. But this is here, and we got to do. No, north, Bible, boom, here you go. But what about? No, here, boom, Bible, here. Not only does he have that, he also has this Holy Spirit that resides within us that's like Jiminy Cricket, right? Not the way. No, don't do that. No, do that, right? So we have no excuse to not be obedient. Our only excuse is we want our own way. That's it. So today, when we have a little time of reflection, I want, if you have those things in your life, which I know all of us do, that God's speaking to you, I want you to give us space to come and repent. And go, God, I'm sorry for doing it my own way. I want to do it your way. I want to get to the end of my life and God says, good job, good and faithful servant. Well done. Instead of, I had all of these things that I had for you and you settled for so much less. Now, obedience and the promise. The beautiful thing about obedience is there's a promise. There's a promise attached to it. So we're going to go back to our friend Ruth here. Now, in chapter 3, verse 7, there we go. So when Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly and uncovered his feet and lied down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man. He turned, and there was a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "I am your servant Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are my guardian redeemer for our family." Now, obedience is not passive or weak. It's bold and courageous, right? What she just did was very bold. Very bold. In these times, women were endangered all the time. Being a strong, independent woman wasn't seen as a cool thing. And she did this was a huge act. She was proposing marriage to him. And then verse 10 says, "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. This kindness is greater than which you had showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, which whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all that you ask. All the people of my town know that you are a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am a guardian redeemer of your family, there is another one more closely related than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to do his duty as the guardian redeemer, good, let him redeem you. But if he is not willing, surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning. Obedience always brings reward in one form or the other, either forming in your character, building a strong and valuable reputation, and even times physical provision. Obedience, there's a promise. There's a promise in obedience. Chapter 14. So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized. And he said, "No one must know that a woman came to the threshing floor." He also said, "Bring me the shawl you were wearing and hold it out." And when she did, he poured 6 measures of barley and placed the bundle on her. And then she went back to town. When Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, "How did it go, my daughter?" Then she told everything Boaz had done for her and added, "He gave me these 6 measures of barley and said, 'Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" Then Naomi says, "Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today." So now, when your child is obedient, you want to lavish them with attention and provision, don't you? Isn't it easy? And we want to give our children attention and provision anyways, but when they're obedient, it's so easy. It's like, sure, however I can help you, however I can help you grow even more, because the child is obedient. It's easy to be around them and be in their presence. If you're a manager or a boss of some kind and you are going to give the high priority work to the obedient workers, are you not going to give the work to the people that don't do the little tiny tasks? And the best thing about obedience with my child, like I remember my daughter, man, when we would not spend time together and we would just be, I'd be working a lot and I'd be really focused and I'd ask her to do something, it was always harder. She'd fight me on it and we'd have this issue and it would be disruptive. But I'll tell you what, when I spent time with her, and she knew that I loved her and cared about her, and we had this trust relationship. When I asked her to do something, I was like, "Okay, mommy." I was like, "Dude, that's what God desires. To be obedient with God, you have to have that relationship with God, spending time with him. He's building your trust and he's pouring his life into you and you're pouring your life into him. And so when he asks you to do something, it's like, okay, God, I'll do that. But when we're feeling like we want our own way and we got to do it the way we want to do it, it's because we're probably not spending the time with Christ as we need to spend time with him. Now, Luke 16:10. If you are faithful in the little things, you will be faithful in the large ones. But if you are dishonest in the little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. So if you desire God to work through you in powerful ways, you must be obedient in the small, tiny little things that God asks you to do. How many times does God ask you to go pray for somebody, even in a church setting, and you say, nope, that's weird, that's awkward? How many times did God ask you to pay for the person behind you in the coffee line and you say, no, I don't know, that's weird, I'm embarrassed, I don't have the money? These little things that God places in front of you on a daily basis to further the kingdom, and we say no. When God says, you know, I don't want you, encourage you, hey, you're spending too much time watching TV, why don't you spend some more time with me? No, God, this is easier, I'd rather do this. All these little ways in our lives, but then we want, God, I'm praying for revival. I want you to revival. I want you to work in my family. I want you to work in my community. But God's like, can you spend 30 minutes with me a day? No, that's too much. I can't. I just don't have time. I'm too busy. So simple, but yet so hard. So this is why Jesus promises us the Holy Spirit. This is why he promises the Holy Spirit. John 16:5-16. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another, the advocate, to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The word cannot receive him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you do not know him, for he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. In a little while, the world will see me no more. But you will see me because I live. You will live. And on that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him. So verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commands. Just like when I asked my daughter to do something, it wasn't because I'm trying to be mean and terrible. It's because I want her to clean her room, because I want her to be a clean and tidy person. I want her to be able to take care of herself later on in the future. I want her to be a good employee. I want her to be a kind person who can follow instructions, right? Oh, Mom, it's just going to get messy anyways again. There's more to it than just your room being cleaned. Well, Mom, you're such a perfectionist. You just want my room clean all the time. That might be true. But there's more to it than that. And guess what? My daughter has a very tidy house. Her house is clean. She's very orderly. So those things worked, just like what my mom did for me. And that's what God's doing. He might ask you to do some menial thing that seems ridiculous. But there's more to it than that. He's building character in you. He's doing something. He's doing so much more than we could possibly ever imagine. Now, verse 21. Whoever keeps my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him. If you're having a hard time hearing what God has, you're like, I just don't hear him. I don't know. He's not speaking to me. He's not around. I don't know. He's just not speaking to me anymore. Maybe check what's going on. Maybe check. I hate the excuse. Not that God doesn't hide himself, because he does, but that's more because he wants to draw you in closer. Not because he's just hiding. A lot of times people use that as an excuse. I'm not hearing the word of God. He must be hiding from me. This is just a desert time for me. In the desert, that was when God was closest to people. God is there, right there. How many times do we go into these old comforts in our life because, I don't know why we do it. Oh, this is easier to eat 50 cookies than just to open my mouth and spend time with God. Because we're like, well, it's easy, it's instant. So is being with God. I had this epiphany the other day. I don't know why it was such an epiphany, but it was. God's like, all you gotta do, I'm right here. so easy and this fixes my problem right now. I'm right here. This is actually harder. You have to go out and buy the cookies, and then you're going to eat the cookies, and then you're going to feel bad about the cookies. And you have to work off the cookies. Guess what? I'm right here. Right here within you, residing within you. Jesus burrito before me, beside me, behind me, around me. I'm here. Right here. And it's so easy. I don't know why I'm like, I don't know, God, I'm sorry. I don't know why I do this. The beautiful thing about the promise of the Holy Spirit is that we're not alone in this obedience thing. And I think, well, obedience is hard. It is hard. I'm not going to lie. It is hard. Not because the obedience part is hard. It's because we're fighting our own desire of being wanting our own way. But it's not alone. God's like, I will never leave you or forsake you. He's right there. He gave us his Holy Spirit to empower us to do his will, to live a holy life. God didn't ask us to do something that's completely impossible. He asked us to be like the person of Jesus Christ, but he gave us his Spirit to be able to enable us to do that. We are not in this alone. I had this kind of a challenging, I feel like it's been a challenging 3 years, but challenging week last week, and I was just like, I was feeling very alone, and it was so amazing how God gently, I could just feel him gently speak to me, and he's like, with me, you can do this. And it was so comforting. So comforting. I'm like, okay, I think I can. And it's like, I am with you. And then all throughout that day, I am with you. And he'd be like, I got you. I got you. I'm right here. And man, I was like, okay, I can do this. I can do this. It's like, you're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone in this. Now, Ruth's obedience was rewarded in so many ways. So many ways. God used this ordinary woman's obedience to set in motion the bringing of the Savior of the world. And that's in the future. We'll get to that later. But your obedience may not seem important or even relevant. But God's plan is bigger than our understanding. That's why we must follow, trust, and obey fully, fully in everything that we do. Everything that we do. Heavenly Father, I just, as we enter a time of reflection, God, that you would work in my own heart and everybody's heart that is here, God, that you would just point those things in those areas that you have called us to so much more, to obedience, to full submission. And God, that we would make a stand today, that today I decide that I'm going to obey you. And I ask that every person that is here, God, that would be filled with your presence, that would enable them to be the people that you have called them to be, to remind them that they're not alone, that you have made it possible to obey. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name.